Okay, turn over to Matthew chapter 18, if you will. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to look specifically at verses 21 through 35 today. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. This is part 14 in the sermon series that we've been going through together, the indispensable gospel. And so there'll be one more sermon and then we're going to be done with this particular one. But we're going to be talking more about the gospel as we get into the falls. We have our weekly Bible studies and community groups that meet together. We're going to be looking specifically at the three circles, you know, and how to share that with confidence, how to turn everyday conversations into gospel conversations, how to transition into conversations like that. So we're not certainly moving on and never coming to this again. We're just done with this part of the sermons, but we'll be talking much more about the indispensable gospel as the different months come along. So Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. I heard a story about an Irish boxer, and he was converted and became a preacher. And he happened to be in a new town setting up a tent. He was going to hold some evangelistic meetings in the town. And as he was setting that up, a couple of thugs came up and noticed what he was doing. So they were kind of giving him some trouble. And knowing nothing of his background, they began to insult him and make fun of him and hurl these insults at him. So this Irish boxer, that turned preacher, merely turned and just didn't look at him, tried to ignore them. But pressing his luck, one of the bullies took a swing and struck a glancing blow on the side of the ex-boxer's face. The Irish preacher said nothing, and he turned around and stuck out his other jaw. And the fellow took another blow and hit the other side of his face. At that point, the preacher swiftly took off his coat and rolled up his sleeves and announced, "I turned the other cheek, now, and Jesus gave me no further instructions." So after saying this, the ex-boxer KO'd the bully with one punch. And, you know, we kind of feel that way in our lives sometimes. And, you know, forgiving people when they've wronged us is a tough thing to do. And I get that. It's difficult. And, you know, Jesus talked about this particular thing in the parable that we're going to look at this morning. And he teaches a lesson in forgiveness that we do not need to forget. Number one, a lesson for people who are lost and need forgiveness of sin. But then also kind of a bonus lesson is for Christians that we need to forgive in the same capacity that Jesus has forgiven us. And it's yet one more parable that we can use to share the gospel with other people. We've talked about sharing stories with people, sharing our personal story of salvation, you know, how we came to know Christ, but then sharing parables, neat little stories that Jesus told as a way to share the gospel with people. So this is yet one more parable that we can share with other people and share the truths of the gospel. Let's take a look at it, all right? Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Let's read it together. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how many times could my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" "I tell you, not as many as seven," Jesus said to him, "but 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he had no way to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife and children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the slave fell face down before him and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything.' Then the master of that slave had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and started choking him and said, 'Pay what you owe.' At this, his fellow slave fell down and began begging him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' but he wasn't willing. On the contrary, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay back what was owed. When the other slaves saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow slave as I have had mercy on you?" And his master got angry and handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back everything that was owed. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So let's break it down. Let's break down this parable and let's see what truths we need to understand today. The first thing we're going to talk about is the king. And he was a forgiving king, right? That's the first character that we come to in the story. So the king in the parable decides, now this is just a story, all right? We understand it's just a story that Jesus told, but let's go with it. So in this story, the king decides that he's going to go through his books, he's going to settle all of his accounts, okay? In that time, it was not uncommon to owe people money. And so now came time that he was going to collect the money from the people that owed it to him. So he found that one of his servants had a debt of this ridiculous amount of money, 10,000 talents. Now, you probably already know this, but if not, I'm going to explain it to you again. This was a huge debt that this man owed. A talent in that day was the largest weight that they could use to calculate currency. And so 10,000 was usually the largest number that they used in their language at that time. This was a big number. And so in telling this parable, Jesus could not have described a larger debt that this man owed. If you were to calculate this debt today, it would be roughly $20 million in our money today. So this servant owed a lot of money to his master, and of course, he was not able to pay it back. A common worker in this time would need about 20 years to just earn one talent. So this man owed 10,000 talents. So do the math. How many years would it take him to repay the debt? It would take 200,000 years to repay the debt. He was never going to repay that debt. There was never going to be a time when he felt free and was able to repay that debt. And because of this, the Bible says, or Jesus telling this story, the king ordered that the man's wife, his children, his possessions, all be sold in order to pay that debt. Now, that was common in this time, but considering the amount of debt that this man owed, I mean, that was just a drop in the bucket. And that would pay back some of it, but it was just a drop in the bucket. It would not even go near to paying off the entire debt. So Jesus said in the parable that, what did Jesus say the parable represented? He said it represented the kingdom of heaven. So in the parable, the master represents God. What does that mean? Okay, let's break it down a little bit farther. It means that our debt is so huge that we cannot possibly pay it. That's the first thing we need to understand about this parable and what Jesus is speaking to us. Our sin debt is so huge that we cannot possibly pay it in and of ourselves. The Jewish consider their sin to be a debt unto God. And, you know, I think that's an understandable way to look at it. But remember what Jesus said over in Matthew 6:12 when he was given the model prayer? Remember his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And in part of that prayer, he says, and forgive us our debts as also we have forgiven our debtors. Because of our sin, guys, we've racked up a big debt, okay? We've racked up a large sum of money in the form of sin that we owe. I mean, to put some perspective to it and looking at the story, we're all 10,000 talent debtors. We all owe $2 million in this day and time. It's a debt that we can never pay. We'll never be able to pay it off. Not in 200,000 years can we repay this debt. And that's the first thing we need to understand. That's the bad news, okay? We talk about the bad news, but what's the good news? The good news is that God provides a way for our sin debt to be wiped out. Amen? He provides a way for our sin debt to be wiped out. The servant in the story was broken when he realized the amount of debt and the punishment that was going to be coming to him. The only thing that he could do in that moment was to do what? Throw himself down at the mercy of the king, to fall on his face and to beg. He asked the king to be patient with him and that he would pay back the debt eventually. But we know that would be impossible because of the amount. And this story is kind of like when people imagine they can somehow be good enough in their lives to do enough good things to earn God's forgiveness. As we talk with people about the gospel, one of the comments that you're going to get is people are saying, well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I do this and that. I'm a hard worker. I provide for my family. I pay my taxes. You know, they go through the list. I'm a pretty good person. I think my good outweighs my bad. And that's an understandable thing that people have to understand. But that's exactly the mindset of people a lot of times when they're lost, is that, you know, if I do enough good things, that'll be enough for God to let me into his kingdom. But enough good things can't be done. It's impossible for that to happen because our debt is so big, we cannot do enough to get ourselves out of debt. There's not enough things that we can do to earn God's forgiveness in that way. And we're not perfect. I had somebody, you know, remember John Scott years ago that came to church here? They moved back to Alabama. He told me one time, there's actually two ways to become a Christian. Number one is to be perfect. Number two is to accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, or God offers through Jesus Christ. And I thought, yeah, that's true. We're not perfect, so letter B is the option for us, right? We need Jesus to forgive us. And so there's not enough that we can do. And the servant's case was impossible except for one thing. What was the one thing? The king was compassionate, right? The king was compassionate. Out of sheer compassion, the king granted his servant far more than he asked. He didn't just say, okay, I'm going to give you time to pay it off. He said, you know what? This debt is going away. It's vanished. It's gone. He completely canceled his huge debt and released him from the punishment. Now, did the servant deserve it? No, he didn't. He owed the money. He racked it up. I don't know how he did. It was a lot of money, but he racked it up. He owed it. It was his fault. He didn't deserve it. It was purely an act of love. It was purely an act of grace. And this illustrates, guys, the love and grace toward us. Now, why do I say all this? Because, guys, this is what we have to convey to people when we share the gospel. Now, there are some people that we talk to, and remember we talked about the red light and yellow light and green light last week. The red light means people are like, nope, I don't want to hear this. I'm fine. Stop right there. That's it. I don't want to hear. The yellow light people are like, you know what? I kind of understand. I want to hear more, but I'm not quite ready to make a decision to follow Christ. But then there are some people that are ready. The Lord's been working in their heart and they're ready to accept Jesus. And it could be in their lives they say, you know, Pat, you're talking to him and me, Pastor, you don't realize what I've been a part of in my life. You don't realize the things that I've done. You don't realize the sin that it's been a stronghold in my life for years and years and years. How could God possibly forgive me of something like that? And you can tell them this parable. You see, that's what we have to convey to people. A lot of times people are so weighted down and they think, I'm so bad, I'm so sinful, how could God possibly love me and forgive me? And we have to convey to them that even though we don't deserve it, God gives us grace. He gives us mercy. And that's what we need to convey to those when we share the gospel with them. Through his love and through his grace, he's given us Jesus. Amen? And Jesus died, and when we trust in God's plan for forgiveness, our huge sin debt is canceled, and we're released from the punishment of our sin. That is grace. And that's what we have to show other people. So God provides a way for our sin to be wiped out. But another thing we learn from the king, the forgiving king, is that forgiveness is costly. Forgiveness is costly. When the king forgave the debt, cost him a lot of money. Okay? A lot of money. And this illustrates a very important truth. Forgiveness is not free. It is in one sense because we understand that we can't earn our salvation. We talked about that. We can't do enough good things to become a Christian. But in another sense, forgiveness isn't free because God, it cost him his precious son. And Jesus was the most precious life that ever walked the face of this earth. Jesus, the beloved Son of God, suffered and died and took the shame of our sin upon himself. And so, yes, it's free to us, but yet it did cost something. It cost the most precious life that ever walked the earth, Jesus Christ. He was the only one worthy enough to be our sacrifice because he was perfect in every way. And so this parable illustrates that forgiveness is costly, and people need to understand that. You know, we live in a day and time where lots of things are given out for free. And sometimes we become desensitized. I know in my life, and I try to always think about this, when other people give something to me, when they bless me in some way, that they had to sacrifice. It was a sacrifice on their part and a blessing to me. Well, Jesus dying on the cross was a sacrifice, but a blessing to us. Okay? So that's the first part. That's the forgiving king. The next part, we're going to talk about the unforgiving servant. The king had lovingly forgiven a debt of $20 million, and he let his servant go free. But when the servant left, the parable says that he ran into one of his fellow servants who owed him a much less amount of money. Jesus used 100 denarii. It's about $20 today. So he owed $20 million to the king, but his servant only owed him $20. So he grabbed his fellow servant by the throat, demanded that his money be returned. His fellow servant did the same thing. He begged for more time to pay back the debt. And obviously the unforgiving servant forgot how much he was forgiven because he was unwilling to forgive. And not only was the man unwilling to forgive his fellow servant, he had him thrown in jail until he could pay back what was owed. Guess what? When you're in jail, you're not going to be able to work off your money. It's a no-win situation. Not only was the man unwilling to forgive his fellow servant, he had him thrown in jail. You would think that somebody who had been forgiven a debt of $20 million would be willing to forgive a debt of $20. He was the same harsh and cruel person that, he was acted harshly and cruel to somebody after he'd been forgiven so much. He was unforgiving. So what lessons do we learn from the unforgiving servant? Well, God is merciful and will forgive us when we come to him humbly. God is merciful and will forgive us when we come to him humbly. That word humbly is the key word there. The king who represents God showed mercy to the man when he acted humbly about his debt. Okay? We need to understand that God is full of second chances when it comes to our sin. His forgiveness is not a one-time thing. Remember the reason Jesus told this parable. Take a look at it again. What does he say in verses 21 and 22? What was the premise? Peter came to him and said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Should I forgive him as many seven times? Jesus, not as many as seven, but 70 times seven. He wasn't saying, okay, after you forgive 490 times, then that's enough. He's saying forgiveness is lasting. You do it over and over and over again. And so Jesus is saying forgiveness is endless. He's saying it's something that we should always do. He'll never say to us, and this is the grace of God, you know what? You are forgiven once and that's enough. Aren't we thankful that God doesn't have that attitude toward us? I forgave you once. I had grace for you once, but that's it. You've had it, now you need to suffer the consequences. He has grace for us. He gives us hope. Hope always leads to forgiveness. Jesus is hope. He's the endless forgiver. And this is the message that we need to convey to other people. Guys, it doesn't matter what we've been a part of, what sin that we've had in our lives, what we're stuck in, what strongholds we have. God will be merciful. He will forgive us if we come to Him humbly. That's the key. If we come to Him in a very prideful way, what do we know that God never blesses? He never blesses pride. There's never an instance in the Bible where He blesses pride. But He does give grace to those who are humble. He gives mercy to people who come to Him humbly. And that's part of becoming a Christian, as an admission that I'm a sinner and I need the forgiveness of God. And God, if it weren't for You, there would be no hope for me. It's simply admitting I have blown it. God already knows we have sinned. He already knows we blow it. It's just an admission on our part. I've blown it and I need forgiveness. And God will be merciful and forgive us when we come to Him humbly. But another lesson we learn, and this is one for more of us who are Christians already, followers of Christ, we have to be willing to forgive others in the same way that we've been forgiven. We have to be willing to forgive others in the same way that we've been forgiven. As hard as this is, and listen, I understand that every one of us in this room could tell a story of how we've been wronged. I get that. I've been wronged in my life. You know my story with both my biological father and my stepfather and the atrocities that happened to my mother as a result of their sinfulness. You understand we've all have things in our lives that we've gone through that on paper we say that person does not have a right to be forgiven. We've all had instances like that. But if we follow the story here, then we have no right to hold a grudge against other people. And guys, let me just say, it's not enough to forgive outwardly. We can say all the words and act like we've forgiven, but who knows our heart? God knows our heart, right? Forgiveness has to be genuine. It has to be sincere. And so many times we're not that way. And listen, it's not that we can't forgive. A lot of times we're just unwilling to. And I get that. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who do you need to forgive in your life? Who do you need to forgive in your life? Who do you need to show mercy to? Who are you willing to forgive today in your life? I'm not saying you have to be best buddies with them. I'm not saying you have to be friends with these people or have a relationship that's somehow based upon you being a fake and all that. But at some point, we have to be willing to forgive. I remember when I first moved to Missouri, this is back when we lived in O'Fallon. And at that time, I had not talked to my stepfather in I don't know how many years. And he and my mom had since been divorced, and he was, I think, living in New York or something. And I don't know how he got my number, but he called my house one night and acted like we were best buddies. You know, hey, Cobe, how's it going? You know, how's everything going? And I hadn't talked to you in a while. And I said, I guess I'm doing pretty good. And he goes, well, I'd like to, be able to talk with you again and get to building our relationship back. And I said, I don't know, Jesse, the last time you were with my mom, you tried to kill her. I don't know if I want to be with you, And I was just being honest with him. But I told him, I said, you know what? I want you to understand something, that all the things that you've done to my mom and to me, that I forgive you of that. And I wish you well. I'm going to let this go. I don't want this to be a source of hate and anger for me anymore, because it would tear me up. And so I'm going to let all this go. You've forgiven. But at the same time, I don't know that I really want to be buddies with you anymore. And that was the last I heard from him. Now, I don't know if that was the right thing for me to do. Maybe I should have tried to be friends with him. I don't know. But all I knew to do at that point was just to forgive him and try to move on and forgive him the best that I could. And I always felt like I did enough at that point. And that's what I'm saying. We don't have to necessarily be best buddies with the people that have hurt us. But we have to be willing to forgive them, because we've been forgiven. You know, the servant in the story who owed the $20 million had been forgiven a big sin debt, or a big debt of money. And he wasn't willing to forgive $20. He'd forgotten just how much he had been forgiven. And guys, listen, our sin is the same as somebody else's sin. It's all sin in God's eyes. And in the same way that we've been forgiven, we have to be willing to forgive others. So who do you need to show mercy to? Are you willing to forgive them today? Are you willing to tell them that you forgive them? But beyond that, guys, as we think about the forgiving King, who in your life needs to hear this parable? Perhaps somebody is coming to mind right now that needs to hear the truths of this parable. Who needs to know about God's forgiveness in their life? You know, pray for these people. We've talked about praying for people who need Jesus. Pray for those who are lost. Be willing to share your personal testimony. Be willing to share the three circles. Be willing to share the gospel. Share the parables that we've talked about. The parable of the lost son. The parable of the lost coin. The parable of the lost sheep. The parable of the hidden treasure. The parable of the large banquet that we talked about last week. The unforgiving servant that we talked about today. There's parables that point people to God and tell the story of salvation that we can share with people. And my instance is, when I talk with people, usually people are willing to listen to a story. And you know what? You don't even have to tell them that this is from the Bible. You could just say, hey, I heard this story one time, you know? Or you could say, Jesus told this story. You know, most people, they have a pretty good idea of who Jesus is, and they think mostly he's a pretty good guy, even though they may not want to follow him. Most people think Jesus was a pretty good guy, so they, you know, Jesus told this story one time, and then tell the parable. And let God do the work after that. It's our job just to share. It's God that does the saving. So who can you share this story with today that needs to hear the gospel? Father, we thank you today for the truths of this story. And Lord, I know it's been hard to listen, and it's hot in here, and Father, we've just got a lot of stuff going on. But Lord, in spite of all the external things that are going on around us, I pray, Father, that the truths of this message would just speak to our hearts today, and that we would listen to you, and that we would be obedient to you right now. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness that you offer us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the way that you love us so well. And Father, in the same way that you love us, we need to love others. So Father, help us to do that. Help us to be that people, or those people. Father, we just ask you to have your way in us now. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen.